Isaiah chapter number 53. It's a blessing to be in church, isn't it?
Amen.
You realize that God's a good God.
Yep.
And even if He had chosen not to save me and let me go to hell, He would have still been God. He didn't have to save me. He didn't have to. He didn't have to save you if you're here today and you're lost. He didn't have to if you're saved. If you're here today and you're saved, God didn't have to save you. Whether He saved you or not doesn't change whether or not He's God. A lot of times, you know, people get to thinking about, I know we just passed Easter and all that other kind of stuff, but you know what? I never have gotten over the fact that He got up. If He hadn't got up, I wouldn't have got in. Say, well, preacher, how come theologically can you explain to me why He rolled the stone away if He could walk through walls? He didn't roll the stone away to get out so we could get in. It had nothing whatsoever. See, we have a real bad problem in society today, and that is that we always take the Bible and interpret it in light of ourselves. If we could ever get past ourselves, God could really get something done. If we could get past the stuff that we want to read into the Bible and get ourselves out of the way, God could really help us get something done. Now, I want to encourage you tonight, God helping us. I hope and pray that you'll come back for the service tonight and got something the Lord's laid on my heart I think will really help you. I not only like to see the fire fall in a church service, but there's some things that we need to do. There's some things as a church that we need to be responsible for. And I just would like for you to come. I hope and pray that you will. Isaiah chapter 53. Why don't you stand? I'm just going to read one verse here, and then we're going to go to a couple other places. Isaiah 53. I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" God, we sure do thank You for the privilege of being gathered here today. God, we're thankful that You smiled down upon us and had us born in the country that we're born in. We're thankful, God, You had us born during the time period that You had us born in. We're thankful, God, that our salvation is because of a free gift given. And God, we're thankful for being sealed unto the day of redemption and not have to worry about being cast aside or cast out. God, we're thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed to make it easy for us to get in. And God, we're asking You this morning that You might see fit, please, to help us. God, make preaching easy this morning, but make hearing also easy. God, clear out the things that would block the pathway of Your words into our hearts this morning. And Lord, plow up the fallow ground. Lord, get the ground soft and get it tender, Father, so that it might have some good. God, those that are here today that are lost and on their way to a devil's hell, God, might You just make nothing real to them except the fact that they are looking and staring at eternity forever and forever and forever in a lake of fire. And God, help those people that are in a backslidden condition far away from You. God, might You draw them close to Thee. God, might You set us aside this morning and hide us behind the cross of Calvary, God, that You might get something, God, done this morning. God, set aside personalities this morning and preferences this morning and politics this morning and prejudices this morning. And God, help us to clear the way out and speak clearly and plainly to us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope and pray that you're praying this morning and asking God to do something. It's amazing to me the grace that God's put upon us and surround us by the blood of Jesus Christ, but not only that, to seal us to the day of redemption. Sometimes I actually get up and I don't always feel very Christ-like. Some mornings I get up, I don't feel like a Christian. If you were to ask my wife yesterday what she thought about me as a Christian, as a husband, or as a preacher, she might have said, "I don't know, I think that guy's still in the bed somewhere. I don't know who this new guy is that moved in with me." Amen. I'm just preparing her. I said, "Well, if you think this new guy's no good, if I die and Jody moves in, he'll be 10 times worse than this guy." So, amen. I said that the other day, and a lady said to me, she goes, "Is his wife seeing somebody?" She better not be, but that's our joke around here for what happens if the preacher kicks off. You know, well, you know, I know she's not going to, but it's good for you to laugh every now and when you come to church. Some of you need to have a few prunes. I think what we're going to do in the mornings is we're going to pass out prunes in the offering plate. You say, why? I need to feel that rumble in your tummy a little bit this morning. You need to relax and don't be so like you're doing God a favor this morning. I don't mean to be rough on you, but listen, God's the one that did us a favor this morning to allow us to be able to come here. Everything we got's because of what God gave us. Ain't nobody doing God no favors this morning. God's doing us a favor this morning. God's helping us this morning. God's going to speak to us this morning. It don't have nothing. Listen, get yourself off the throne and vacate it and let Jesus take over. I'm telling you, your life will be a whole lot better for it. Amen. Well, I don't like that. Listen, there's always plenty of room for critics. Amen. I want to ask you this question this morning, a couple of points. First of all, I want to ask you, who hath believed our report? Do they believe us when we tell them about Jesus? Do they believe us when we tell them about church? Do they believe us when we talk to them about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do they believe us when we tell them that we believe in an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell? Do they believe us, or do they think what Christianity is just people and politics in the church? Do they think that church is all about this person against that person? I mean, one of the things that prevents them from believing our report is church has become all about our preferences and about politics, and too often what we do is we pray in church instead of being serious. I don't think that we can convince them that God has revealed Himself to us unless we can have the testimony outside these doors. Most of us have a Sunday talk and a Monday talk. Most of us have Sunday friends and then Monday friends. Most of us don't have any power in our testimony because what we say is not what we do. I'm asking you this morning, do they really believe us? Or do they have good cause not to believe us? Listen, if I'm getting ready to buy something, the first thing I ask, I bought this thing the other day, it's supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread to help clear out air and all this other kind of stuff and so on and so forth. You know, the first question I asked the lady was, do you have one? Now, if she had told me I don't have one and I'm not buying one, I would have said, then what in the cat hair are you doing trying to sell me one? I mean, that doesn't make sense. Listen, if I go to buy a car and the guy I'm buying the car from doesn't drive the same brand as the one I'm fixing to buy, you know what? I probably ain't going to buy a car from him. I'd have to really like that car, but I'm wondering if I'm here to buy a Ford and he's driving a Chevrolet, how come you ain't driving a Ford? We wonder sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, why it is that people don't believe our report about how good God is. I'm just simply saying that maybe they consider the source and think, buddy, if that's how good God is to you and that's what you call good, then I don't really want any part of the God you claim is so good. God is good in spite of what we may think. And sometimes we think we're big enough to set some sort of judgment on God and determine whether or not we think He's good. Hey, He's good whether we think He's good or not. Amen. Who hath believed our report? A lot of times, you know what happens? We got people with so much stuff in their hearts toward each other that when they come to church, it's like the preacher that went up one time, they got to arguing and fussing over what color the roof ought to be, getting to fighting over it and fussing and disagreeing, and the preacher said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, I'll solve the problem. And he shingled one side of the church with one color and the other side of the church with another color. You know what? It's sad to say, but that's what people think church is. I don't know about you, but they ask a bunch of teenagers, this is statistical fact, what is it that makes you want to quit church when you get old enough to get out? You know what they said statistically across the board? It wasn't because we weren't relevant. It wasn't because they weren't being taught. It was because Mama and Daddy walked up and shook the preacher's hand and said, boy, we sure do love you. And by the time they got in the car, they had already had him for dinner and cut up everybody in the church and sliced and diced every parishioner that was in the pews. And they just said, listen, you know what? We're getting tired of Mama and Daddy acting like everything's great, everything's wonderful, everything's glorious, and putting on a big show about how it is, and then get in the car and then gut everybody and every person. Hey, I'm not interested in going back. I don't blame her. One preacher not long ago, he said, preacher, he said, I'm tired of fighting. I said, what do you mean? He said, preacher, he said, I'm telling you, every time I go to church, somebody's fighting with me. If they ain't fighting with each other, they're fighting with me. He said, I'd never get up. And he said, it must be a dream to preach where you are. I said, brother, it is a dream to preach anywhere for me. But yeah, it's pretty much, he said, preacher, every time I get up, somebody is fighting me before I'm in the pulpit, while I'm in the pulpit, or as soon as I get out of the pulpit. And he said, I'm just wore out with it. They're throwing up babies. They're looking at their watches. They're talking to everybody and everything. They got their head down reading some newspaper or something while I'm preaching. I've been preparing. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been doing everything I know to do, preacher. And he said, I don't understand what the problem is, but I am tired of fighting all the time. I'm ready to quit. And if he does quit, he will give those people exactly what they're trying to do, because they've already killed off a half a dozen before he ever got there. One preacher said one time, he said, preacher, he said, I'll be honest with you. He was talking to another preacher. I just got this from a preacher. That guy, he said, honestly, he said, I really believe that if I were to get up and slice my wrists and hang over and let it pour out on the pulpit, he said, I really believe that some of my people would sit there and look at their watch and wonder how long it's going to take me to bleed out. Hey, how come they don't believe our report? I'll tell you why. Because the people's report has been our report instead of what God would have reported. Yeah, they do believe our report, but the report is the wrong report. Now don't worry, it gets a little better after this, so don't get your nose out of joint yet and your spiritual gallbladder in an uproar. But let me clear off the table first and get all the negative stuff out of the way so we can enjoy the goodness of God toward the end. I'm telling you, it's time we set the plow down. It's time we start realizing the reason that we don't get pulled over running sometimes is because people do believe our report. See, it looked like the way it was going, well, I don't know, preacher. I don't know if they believe it or not. I submit to you, they do. Right. Problem is, it's our report. The problem is you come looking and with that critical spirit. You come looking for trouble. You come looking for something that's wrong. Something to get upset about. Something to get tore up about. Hey, I went to Walmart the other day. And you know something? I walked in the door and that old geezer that was standing there, bless God, he didn't even shake my hand or talk to me. He didn't hand me a cart. Talked to everybody else, and I walked in there and I'm thinking, I'm ready for it, you know. Of course, if he had, I'd have said, why they always got to be speaking to me? But then he didn't speak to me. I'm like, well, he didn't even speak to me. So I don't understand that. But I walked into Walmart and I went straight to what I wanted to get. And I went to the counter to check out, and I checked out, and I walked out, and when I walked out, he didn't even say, appreciate you shopping here, thank you very much for coming, it's very kind of you to bring your business over here. He didn't say a cotton-picking word. And this afternoon, if I need a bottle of ibuprofen by the time I'm done with this thing today, or if I need a glass of water or something that they got on their shelf, you know what I'll do? I'll go back to Walmart, because I didn't go to Walmart looking for a handshake. I didn't go looking for a pat on the back. I went to that place because I knew they had something on their shelf that I needed and that I wanted. I wasn't coming there to be recognized and to be pulled out of the crowd and to be appreciated. Hey, I'm telling you, it's time that we as a church stop worrying about the people and start worrying about Jesus. Amen. It's time we get our heads out of the sand. It's time that we start realizing, hey, sometimes we find just exactly what we're looking for. Well, that's the meanest church I've ever been to. Hey, wake up, realize Baptists are some of the meanest people you've ever seen in your life. I've been around Baptists since 9 months before I was born. Amen. I'm telling you, some of them are mean as a cotton-picking snake. Say, why? Because they're people. But I ain't looking for people. If I did, you know what? For years, I was always worried about the ones that wasn't here. It just tear me out of the frame. And the Lord's like, well, I was there. Lord, I appreciate it. I'm glad you were. Appreciate it. It's real kind of you to show up. But Lord, where was so-and-so? And where was so-and-so? And then somebody walk up and say, brother, did you know where so-and-so is? Have you called to check on them? Have you found out where they are? You know what I feel like saying? I wouldn't, but you know what I feel like saying? Have you called and checked on them? Have you been by to see them? Have you sent them a letter? Have you sent them a card? Has it bothered you? Or is that just, hey, you know, it's kind of one of those, they used to call them the shake-off, you know? You're playing linebacker and a guy comes at you and what you're supposed to do is knock the cotton picking tar out of him, but you don't get tangled up with him. You just shuck him off so you can be there to catch the guy when he comes through the line. Hey, you know what Christians do? Hey, preacher, have you talked about them? Have you seen them? Have you gone to visit them? Have you called them on the telephone? All for me now, man. So I'm the preacher. How am I doing? It's not the preacher's church. It's our church. Just trying to help you this morning. Listen, have they believed our report? I hate to say this. I think they have. I think our testimony out there in the world, in this community, in this county, I think they do believe it. Say why? Because we don't live it. I'm just saying. Who is the arm of the Lord been revealed to? People don't like that. Look at Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. You know what? People don't like it when you get too close to Jesus. You ever notice that? Now, I'll give you just a few things this morning. Hopefully, I don't know how long it's going to take to preach them, but I'm going to tell you this morning, I want the liberty to be able to preach what I believe God's laid on my heart this morning, because I think we're in the last days of the last hours of the last minutes of the last seconds of the final hours. You say, why do you get so stirred up? Why don't you get stirred up? Listen, I get excited about some things that ain't spiritual. Don't you think for one second I'm not going to get excited about Jesus if I get excited about things that don't make a row of pins about nothing. Amen. I went to the hospital on Thursday. Walk in there, go up there. Nurse comes in with a folder. Looks like a cat that ate the canary. And she says, the doctor will be with you, the surgeon will be with you in a moment. And we're sitting there and I said, well, you got the report right there, right? Yes, ma'am. The HIPAA says that I'm not allowed to release the information to you. I said, you know the information, don't you? She says, yes, sir, but the surgeon has to be able to tell you that. I said, lady, we've been on pins and needles for quite a while now. I'd kind of like to know. I mean, even if it's bad, could you tell me? Well, the doctor will be out here in just a few minutes. I'm thinking, oh, Lord God, lady, come on. Couldn't you just kind of give us a little wink like, you know, everything's all right, you know, something like that. But no, you know, I understand. I mean, somebody'd sue her and say, she told me something I wasn't supposed to know, you know, and then sue the doctor. Amen. That doctor came in, had his coat gathered up around him. How are you today, Michelle? How are you, Joe? How are you, sir? Good to see you again. How's everything going? I said, I don't know. Depends on what you say. He goes, oh, that. Yeah, that. He goes, well, there's good news. Okay. There's not any more cancer in those lymph nodes. Now you still got to follow the treatment, blah, 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 blah. But buddy, at that point right there, it was like, I'm like disconnected. I'm ready to hop out the third floor window. I'm looking out that window, and in my mind's eye, man, I done leaped out the window, man, and I'm flying for a little while before I hit the ground, boy. I'm thinking, boy, ain't God good. I mean, it could have gone the other way. It could have been bad. It could have been a horrible thing. Hey, I was so happy and so glad. If you don't think when I got in my car that I got as excited about what God had done in her life as some of you do over a cotton-picking ball game, I'm telling you, I got in my car, I rolled up in windows, and I said, whoa, glory to God! You say, oh, well, it wasn't God Almighty. Hey, you don't know you get to eternity. She could have been eat up from head to toe, stem to stern, and God heard the prayers of the saints, and He said, I'll tell you what, boy, I'm just going to take it out. I'm going to prolong it just a while longer. Bless God, I'll let her rip, tater chip. You say, why? Just to irritate some of you. I wish you could have seen me. When you get to glory, ask God to give you a replay. Man, I'm sitting there waiting at the traffic light. I've been pulled out of the parking lot. And I'm waiting at the light. Called, of course, it's another little one of them little things, you know, because he kept talking. He thought he was a Baptist preacher. He just kept, you know, talking. I'm like, so I'm saying, you know, Senator Dina, call you in a little bit and told her everything's okay. And she's like, more, you know. I'm like, in a minute, you know, more. So I called her. I said, everything's going to be all right. We're going to do this. And here's where we're headed and so on and so forth. And we're headed over to see the oncologist. And I pulled out of there. I didn't have nothing left in me. I got to just sitting there at the traffic light, watching all this traffic going by, I-95 just zipping and zinging. And for just a moment, I felt like the Lord just came and sat down. Now, He didn't. But I felt like He just came and sat down over there in the passenger side of the car. He said, "What you think about that, boy?" He says, "Was that pretty good for you? Hey, sometimes you don't understand me, and sometimes you don't know what I'm doing, but sometimes I do some things worth shouting about." I said, "Oh, glory! Hallelujah!" The light changed. The next thing I know, somebody's going, "Nick!" And I said, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord!" And then I drove off, and he got caught by the light. Amen. I'm glad I had Jesus. I'm glad He's still real to me. I'm so tired of the wet sock, wet blanket Baptists that don't want you to get excited about nothing except politics or prosperity or something going on in the government. I'm so glad this morning I've got something worth shouting about. I've got Jesus in me.
Amen.
Three things. What will happen when you start getting close to Jesus? Acts 4, in verse number 1, the Bible says they spake to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them. Why? Because they're grieved that they taught the people, preached through Jesus. Woo! The resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them. Three things real quick so I can get into the other part of the message. When you start moving toward Jesus, I'm here to tell you, society and the world don't like it. They don't give a flip about you until you start moving in a direction away from them and it puts them under conviction. I don't care what you say. Your family don't care a little bit of Jesus, but you get sold out there and I'm telling you, they're going to put the brakes on you. They're going to set the power down. They're going to say, "Now wait a minute. Don't get too carried away." I'm telling you, when you start moving toward Jesus, when you start moving toward the one that slung the star clusters into existence, I'm telling you, society will say, "Hey, hold on." Don't get carried away, you fanatic. You say, "Well, preacher, you're a nut." Yeah, but I'm screwed on the right bolt, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Got some Holy Ghost Loctite on me, amen. Some of you don't even know what that is. That's that stuff you put on the bolt. Once you put it in, it ain't coming out, amen, unless you ring it off. Amen. I ain't coming off of the bolt. You say, "Why?" I'm locked down tight, boy. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. And society can go to hell in a handbasket. They ain't never done nothing like that for me.
Amen.
I might have a lot of faults and a lot of problems. They wouldn't forgive me for it, but Jesus will. Satan don't like you when you get close to Jesus. You know what Satan does? If you're saved and you start moving toward Jesus, he gets upset. Satan cannot stand a happy Christian. That's why so many people, you go to church, it's like, "How you doing?" "Fine." "You got Jesus?" "Yeah, I'm saved." "You going to heaven when you die?" "Yeah." You see, you're fine like that. You say, why? Because that ain't the kind of Jesus anybody's looking for. I can draw a circle around this entire county right here and I can tell you what everybody in that circle is looking for. They're looking for one thing. They want happiness. And it's time as Christians that we don't let the world and all of its troubles get us down. You say, why? Satan loves for you to be an unhappy Christian. Society will criticize you. Satan will say, "You're saved, you're going to heaven, but this, don't get carried away." You say, "Preacher, is there something else that'll get in the way?" Yeah, I hate to tell you, but the saints will get in your way. Amen. Amen. The backslidden will get in your way. The critical at heart will get in your way. They don't like it. You say, "What are this slacker?" They don't want you doing something they ain't doing. And boy, they'll find all kind of spiritual ways to try to make you hold back. Hey, I told you in Sunday school, I appreciate a young man that'll get up behind the pulpit at 24 years of age and say, "I sold out to Jesus." Hey, he never claimed not to make mistakes. He never claimed not to have messed up along the way. But he's still going and he's heading to a far country. If the Lord comes to get him, he'll reward him as if he's already been there. You say, "Preacher, what do you think about it?" I ain't putting no wet blanket on him. He'll have to learn some things through experience. and where he's going, he'll have some great experiences. How about yours? The critical ones will always look for a reason to hold you up. I don't know about you, but it don't take much to really knock the wind out of my sails sometimes. Really. I can be flying along pretty high, and then some offense will come, Luke 17, and I know the offense is coming, TK. I mean, I know it's going to happen. And then the Bible says, but woe unto them for who it comes, to offend one of the little ones. Was that a church? They had all these kids coming up and quoting Scripture. The little kid got up, and he said the verse wrong. I thought, okay, big deal. Somebody said, came up to the pastor and said, Pastor, he didn't quote the King James Bible. Pastor said, well, yeah, he's a kid. It's not really good. Nope, preacher, that's a big deal. And he goes, were you quoting Scripture when you were that age? That's beside the point. That's a big deal. He said, listen, man, the kid just got saved. He just started coming to church. How much Scripture? You know what this fellow said? You know what he said? Well, I wouldn't get up there and do it if I didn't know it. Of course, I'm distant. I'm just preaching there. I'm not saying that, but I'm thinking, boy, I got me a message for tonight, boy. Yes, God, I'm going to... The church, the preacher can't single him out, but bless God, I can get my scope, blow the dust off of it. I can blow him out of the water. He's no... You know, I'm just standing over there. I'm being all, you know, like this, and I'm thinking to myself, ain't you something? There was probably more than a dozen kids. They quoted, he singled out the one. Preacher, you need to do something about that. It's getting out of hand. Fall off. Oh my God. Everybody's going to the Living Bible. They're going to the New World Church. They're going over to the ESV, the RSV. Hey, I'm glad the preacher had a little wisdom. He said, listen, I appreciate it. That guy says, are you going to straighten him out? He said, no, sir, I'm just going to let it go. You know what? One little thing like that, boy, can bring you from Mount Zion all the way down to the Valley of Baca. Boy, I mean, it can drop you like a sack of potatoes because some spiritual critic comes in now. Brother, you had all them guys shouting the last few days. Yeah, you know what? You should have come an hour early and got in on a prayer meeting with them. I mean, boy, I walked in there, it's like I walked into a bubble and it closed behind me. And I started off standing. Before long, I was kneeling. And then next thing you know, I was down on the... Next thing you know, I'm down here. I mean, boy, them boys' feet were... tears were running down their cheeks. And boy, they were weeping some tears and praying God might do something. You say, preacher, that all that shouting, all that hollering, it was distracting. You see, that's how the critics are. They don't come half the time, but when they do, they want everything done the way they want it done. How am I doing? Hey, you know what? Maybe we've progressed since you were here last time, Sonny. Now, if you're visiting, we're glad to have you. But I'm just saying what you're thinking. If you expect me to shake my hand, you'd probably be upset if I did this morning because I'm already sweating. And if I did, you'd be like, my God, man, he's probably got swine flu or something. And now I got it because he sweated on me. I think it's time, folks, that we get excited about something other than ourselves. And I'll talk to you tonight maybe about Jacob and Esau. But there's a lot of Jacob and Esau's in our presence. They got awed against each other and their brothers. And never the twain shall meet. Acts chapter 4. Society and Satan and the saints will get in the way. Never fails. You try to get something done. Never fails. Never fails. Never fails. Somebody comes up, stumbling block. Just don't take long. You just, hey, I just want you to know I'm here. Why don't you be walking too far? Don't forget where I'm at. Preacher, I missed a couple of weeks. Nobody called me. Why don't you call us? Let me show you how whacked out you are. You miss work. You think your boss going to call you? It's in your written directives. If you're going to miss work, you better call the boss. Otherwise, you know what you're going to be doing? Calling other people to try to find a job. Well, they didn't care that I missed work. Nobody called me. You're fired. Amen. You missed school. Guess what? They don't call. TK, where's your boys at today? Unless they miss a number of days, TK, we're fixing to stick the truant officer on them. We're fixing to put mama and you in jail because you ain't doing what you're supposed to do and sending them kids to school. Hey, they don't call. But you know what? When it comes to church, preacher, I missed if I called me. Ooh, boy, I'm getting too close to the taters this morning. I mean, I got a good part of this message, but you know, I mean, we're having fun. Let's just have some fun for a little while. Too many of us think we're the bride at every wedding, the corpse at every funeral. We think the whole universe revolves around us. Did you know what they did to me? Well, they let her sing and not me. Oh, sorry. You know, it's a sad state of affairs that the focus of what the church was supposed to be has now started being on people instead of on Jesus. I think if I was going to miss, now I could be wrong, if I was going to miss church, and thank God I haven't had to unless I was at a meeting, but if I was going to miss church, I wouldn't just lay out and wait for you to call. 9:45, come, where's the preacher? I don't know. Heard from him? No. Brother David, you heard from him? No. Brother Brad, you heard from him? Nuh-uh. Brother Roger, no. Brother Craig, no. I ain't heard from him. Brother Gene, you heard from the preacher? No, I ain't heard from him. Brother Larry, heard from the preacher? Nuh-uh. TK, where's my idol? I don't know. I hadn't heard from him. Well, somebody better call him and find out where he's at. Oh, you missed me today? Oh, I'm sorry, I broke my leg. I can't get there. You have to get somebody else to cover it. That's no big deal. You can handle it. Just put anybody up there, right? I think, I could be wrong, but I think I'd pick up the phone and say, hey, listen, brother, I'm really sick. I'm not going to be able to make it in. Yeah, but that's your job, preacher. No, I'm not a hireling. This is my calling. This is not my vocation. Let's get a little positive. Come back to Acts 4. Listen, close your eyes for just a minute. Don't worry, I'm not going to slap you. And think about where you could be if God hadn't intervened in your life. Did God do something for you? You think about where you could be if God hadn't stepped in and interrupted the direction you were going and where you were headed. Hey, if it hadn't been for God Almighty intervening in your life, boy, I'm telling you, you could be headed for hell, or you could be in the wrong church with the wrong doctrine and the wrong Bible. You could be backslid on God today. I'm telling you, God did something for you. Be gracious with the rest of us. Amen. Man, God's been good to me. Sometimes we get too busy and we forget how good God's been. Amen, little one. He's learning fast. I'm looking at verse number 12. In the interest of time, neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given by whereby we must be saved. She's not here this morning, but Laura, she came back in my office because one of her friends brought her, Nadine. And she said, preacher, can I talk to you? I said, sure. How do you feel? She said, pretty broken right now. I said, I bet so. She began to ask me a few questions, and I said, well, let's get something settled first and foremost. I said, well, you need to talk to your friend here, Nadine, and you need to learn that eternity is the most important question that must be settled now. Because if something happens, if you get sick, and if you don't wind up doing as well as you hope to do, you need to make sure you know where you're going. So if we have to stand over that box, we can say with assurance you had trusted Jesus. Have you ever done that? She said, well, I don't know if I've ever done that. I just kind of thought I always was. But then I got to doubting it and thought maybe I lost it. I said, well, I don't want to embarrass you or nothing. And I said, I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm not going to try to force you. But I said, maybe this evening you get ready to go home, Nadine can sit down with you and tell you about it. And I got quiet for a second. She said, could I get that done now? I said, you mean right now? And she said, Yes, sir. Little old girl sitting in there, got the blankets around her, got a sheepskin over her. Boy, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, she's freezing to death because she's got that sheepskin. And I said, oh, boy, if you just knew what was around you, buddy, you got a sheepskin fixing to fall on you. Oh, like nothing you've ever seen before in your life. And I said, okay. I took out the Bible. I said, first of all, do you know you're a sinner? She started laughing. I'm not talking about, you know, sanctified. I mean, she's like, and she's slapping it easy. She goes, he wants to know about it. She goes, yes, I'm a sinner. I said, you know, that's the hardest thing to do is to get somebody lost so you can get them saved. She said, preacher, I said, I don't want to know. I said, just as long as you understand that before God you're a sinner, you're in the perfect position to get a Savior, because the Bible said He didn't come to save the godly, He came to save the ungodly. I took her over in Romans, and it said, I said, are you a sinner? She said, yes, I am. I said, glory to God. She said, why do you say that? I said, the Bible says in that yet, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. I said, oh, God didn't die for the saints, God died for sinners. She goes, you mean He died for me? Yeah. I said, you and only you.
Yeah.
The personal Savior.
Yeah.
I said, Nadine, you want to do this? She goes, you're doing fine, preacher. Go ahead. I'll just pray.
Yeah.
She's over there praying. I can see her. She's kind of trying to squelch that shout, you know, kind of. She's thinking, woo! Say, what's fixing that? We're fixing to hear over there in the nursery. We're fixing to hear the sound of a newborn go to squalling because we're fixing to be born again into the kingdom of God. Boy, we got down to the end of that thing. I said, do you want to trust Him as your Savior? She said, heck yeah! I said, just pray in your own words. The best way you know how. Boy, that little heart broke.
Oh,
I'm on my knees. Nadine's on her knees. She's too sick to get on hers. And she's leaning over there. Boy, tears are just dripping off on that carpet. And she's just squalling. She can't catch her breath. And so was she in pain? No. She couldn't believe. She began to pray. She said, oh God, I don't know why you would save a sinner like me. And I don't know how you can forgive a sinner like me. But oh God, I want you to forgive me. And God, I want you to save me. And we got there. She says, is that good enough? I said, oh Lord. Man, I tried to maintain my dignity as long as I could. You say, why? She got done. We come down the hall. She told my wife, she said, I trusted Jesus. Just like that. Just bold as a line. Just, I trusted Jesus.
Yeah.
She's outside. I'm going to get some stuff. She said, preacher. I said, yes, sir. She said, I'm really sorry I took so much of your time. I said, lady, do you understand? I called her Laura. I said, do you understand what God just let me get in on? I said, do you understand that heaven's rejoicing and there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repented? Do you realize right now my daddy and my friends and other people are up in glory and they're shouting her out because God's blood was not in vain. He died for you and you trusted Him. Hey, that makes heaven rejoice.
Yes, sir.
He said, I sure do feel better. You say, why? Because she got her eternal picture resolved. Preacher, where can I find Him? In verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that had been with Jesus. Preacher, where can I find Jesus? You can find Him in the church. Sometimes, Brother Mark, you can find Him in a desk room, classroom. Sometimes you can find Him in the car. You can find Him in strange places. But I tell you this, He loved the church and gave Himself for it. I've seen God show up for me more times in church than anywhere else. God likes church. I like church. I like revival meetings. I'll be honest with you, I like preaching in revival meetings. I like going because most times in revival meetings, people aren't coming just to do their service. Those people come on Sunday morning, but you come Sunday night, you come Monday night, you come Tuesday night. I mean, boy, I'm going to tell you, those people are there and God's moving. I like to see people that are hungry for God. I mean, it really helps me. I enjoy it. It's a blessing to be there. You say, why? Because sometimes God Almighty shows up. Hey, have you ever thanked God for a church where on occasion, in spite of the pastor, in spite of the people, in spite of what's in the pew, in spite of what's in the pulpit, every now and then, God just drops by this place. You ever thank God for a place where God has dropped by and His presence is felt and His power is infused? Hey, I'm telling you, we ought to be proclaiming all of that.
Amen.
You say, why? Because His provision's been great. I thank God for the church. You say, well, preacher, you wouldn't have a job without it. I had a job before it. I thank God for a church. You say, why? Because I love what He loves. Second of all, Brother Mark hit on this. Don't take time to turn there because I'm trying to beat the clock this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. Sometimes you can find him in the closet. He says, pray. When you pray, enter into the closet. That what you do in secret. Now, I'm probably misquoting this, so I will tell you this is the peacock perversion. So check me. But it says something to this effect. When you pray, enter into the closet. That which you ask in secret, God will reward openly. You say, why? If everybody hears you pray it and God does it, they'll think you're something. Amen. Sometimes somebody will pick up the phone and ring and say, hey, preacher, can you pray about so-and-so? Sure, man. Just you and another brother maybe knows about it. And God miraculously intervenes and does something that's of a miraculous nature, but nobody knows about it. But we get to see the power of God do something in our lives. Sometimes you get in them closets. Smell them old sweaty socks. Them mothballs. And you don't have mothballs, you don't know, you ain't never lived. And you get down there, and when you first get in there, you know, thinking, what am I doing in the closet? Well, scripture, I've got to be in the closet. Prayer closet, right? My closet's under my desk where my stinking feet are all the time. And they get down under that desk, and I find all kinds of things. Sometimes Zeke crawls up underneath there. I find all kinds of stuff under there. And then I get to praying. And boy, sometimes the burden gets heavy. Sometimes it gets hard. And you get under there and you can't verbalize it. You can't talk. You just kind of go to squalling. Just, oh God. You start moaning and you start groaning and the Comforter slides down in there next to you and He shows up and He takes over and He says, hey, say that again. You say, oh God. He takes off and runs up into the throne room of glory. He says, hey God, I know what He said. I know all you thought you heard was a moan. I know all you thought you heard was a groan. But what He really meant to say was, He needs you to do something for Him. Oh God, will you hear His prayer? And back down underneath there, He'll come and He'll say, He's got you covered, boy. He's got you covered. Hey, thank God, amen. He'll hear you pray. Sometimes you need that. Thank God for a comforter, brother. And you're going to be in the Christian life. You're going to be in Germany. I'm telling you, there are going to be some times you're going to be all alone or feel like you are. You can be surrounded by hundreds and feel all alone. And you get down there and say, God, I need to talk to you. You can find Him in the closet. I'm trying to alliterate, but you can find Him not just in the church, in the closet. You can find Him in the Bible, the canon of Scripture. See, preacher, you push that Bible stuff too much. Sorry, it's a personal thing for me. When all else fails, I pick up the book. I remember my daddy standing out. I was leaving over yonder in Panama City. I was getting ready to come back. You know, I was real smart and all that, and I was coming over here to make my life dream or whatever it might be. Got in that old 442, Oldsmobile, metallic blue, Traeger mag wheels. and chrome valve covers. I thought I should just pull the hood off and run around with the thing and had that breather up there. One of them days, whoop, whoop, whoop. Made a lot of noise. Didn't run real fast, amen. Big old wide tires on it, man. Black vinyl top. Black bold and pleated. Oh, I kind of miss that car, boy. Woo, man, I waxed that thing more than I waxed any I've had since then. But it looked cool. I fired that thing up. Daddy standing there with tears running down his face. We weren't leaving on bad terms. He said, boy, don't forget to call me when you get over yonder. And I sort of got a little choked up. I remember him saying, boy, when all else fails, it don't hurt to read the instructions.
Amen.
I never forgot that. He said, what do you do when all else fails? I read the instructions. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I got ready to leave in 1996. I'd already turned in all my papers and everybody thought I was a bigger idiot than they already knew me to be. And I was getting ready to go. I walked in that day as something or somebody and walked out that day as a civilian. Boy, you talk about a shock. That's all I've done for nearly 20 years, man. I mean, that was a change. I mean, that's the first time in years I hadn't driven a police car home. And I went out there and got in my own car. Nobody standing out there, bye, see you later, or nothing. I mean, I'm walking out there, come out of the front door, 501, I'm thinking, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Nobody said nothing. Got in my car, turned out on Bay Street, the way I had gone, I don't know how many times. Come over the Main Street Bridge, man. Woo! I started squalling like a baby. I got to the house. I thought Adrenaline would be there. She wasn't there. I went back on Mill Oak Lane, back to the office that the brothers had built for me, and I got on there and I said, God, oh man, I need some comfort. God, am I an idiot? I mean, Lord, I tried to do everything you told me to do. I don't want to be stupid, but God, I need something. I opened up the canon of Scripture, and I opened it and fell open to Isaiah 61 and verse number 1, and He said, I've anointed you to preach and to set the captives free. I said, whoa, thank you, God, for the canon of Scripture. Time and time again, I've had to stand over the funeral boxes of a loved one and watch them go. You say, where do you turn to? Where do you find Jesus? You find Him in the Bible. I'll give you a couple of things here quickly, if I can do anything quickly. Let me give you some how people will know. The places you find Him, the problems that try to keep you from Him, but how people know you've been with Him. Look in Acts chapter 4, verse number 8. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of a good deed that is done to the impotent man, by what means is made, be it known unto all you and all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus. And first of all, I'd like to say this. When Moses was alone with God, when he came down, he wist not that his face shone. There'll be something about you that's beaming. The first thing the devil likes to do is cover the light that's inside you. The first thing your flesh likes to do is cover the light that's in you. The first thing that your psychological thing will do to cover is to cover up that light. Well, you know, I've been saved, but I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. Anything to turn that lamp down. Listen, the Bible says they could tell they'd been with Jesus. The Bible says they marveled. Them guys been with Jesus. You say, why? Something about them. Some of them old preachers, I wish I could be around them, but some of them old preachers, they say they could walk into a room and everybody feel like all of a sudden everything they'd ever done was just right out there in front of them. It's almost like the preacher knew everything they were doing. Some of them old preachers, you get around them, they say it felt like there was a big fan blowing off the back of them. They felt like somebody was blowing the Holy Spirit off of them. Power of God was on them so strong.
Amen.
There's something about an individual that's been with Jesus that causes them to beam. They're just happy. My wife's like that a lot of the time. You say, that's just who she is. Shut your mouth. I've been living with her 30 years. I know her better than anybody. She has her moments. But they're few and far between. I really get tired. A lot of people put a lot of stuff on my wife that ain't my wife. You know what? She never tells you that everything she does because I asked her to do it. And everybody tries to blame her for it. She's just a faithful servant. She just does what she's told to do. And when they say something, she just takes the hit. She don't do that because she likes being in charge. As a matter of fact, if she had her way, she'd just set a spell. But you have to pray for me because I ain't letting her set just yet. I need her. Say, preacher, what happened? There's something about it when you've been with Jesus. Can I ask you a question? What do people think when they see you? I didn't say when they hear you. When they see you. What do they think? Do they look at you and go, "Woo, man, that guy's been with Jesus. Man, something different about that fella. I don't know what it is, but whoo, man, something different. Hey, lady, can I ask you a question?" When they look at you, do they say, "Man, something about that girl"? I'm not talking about you doing something to draw attention. I'm talking about when they see you, do they think, "Boy, I'm telling you, she's in touch with Jesus." And first of all, your spirit beams. Second of all, your speech gets bold. And guess what? It don't get bold about the government.
Amen.
You ought to amen that a little more.
Amen.
In this place, you will not use this church, this Bible, or my Jesus to defend what you want as your personal privileges.
Amen.
God not one time comes against the government, neither does the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
You want to be spiritual? Then talk about Jesus and quit talking about your personal preferences.
Right.
Yeah. Amen! Amen! Amen!
Yeah,
some of you are a little more vocal about it. Some of the ones that talk about it all the time would shut their mouth.
Amen.
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 Your speech becomes bold. You say, "What did they tell Peter?" I said, "Peter, hush up. Peter, be quiet. Peter, you shouldn't talk about that." You know what? I was told a long time ago, my daddy, he was a good man. I think he was a good man. He taught me a lot. And now that I've gotten older, I realize he taught me a whole lot more than, I mean, he's a pretty smart fellow. You know what he told me, Brother Gene? He said, "People talk about what they love." Man, you talk about getting under conviction, it's like, I'm a little out of balance here. Because the majority of what I talk about usually has me at the center of it instead of him. They tell Peter, "Be quiet." I got to looking at my Bible. Here's Peter. The resurrection takes place. Jesus shows up on the road to Emmaus and he tells them girls out there after he saw him, he says, "I tell you what you do." He says, "Go tell my disciples and Peter."
Good.
He said, "Lord, how come you want me to go tell Peter special?" Well, I figure Peter's probably out there. I saw him through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's out there weeping bitterly. I mean, he is sore distressed. One moment he's ready to cut somebody's head off. The next minute he's running like a little girl. I figure Peter's out there saying, "Man, I've denied the Lord. He don't want me no more. Man, I've done bad. He don't want me no more. Man, I ran and didn't give up my life when I should have been willing to give up. I should have been in there." I imagine Peter's being pretty hard on himself. And the Lord says, "Hey, go get that big old fisherman and you tell him I want to see him. Ain't you glad that God don't throw the clay away, man?"
Amen.
I can tell you in my own personal life, there's been some times where God, for me,
amen,
He says, "Go get my disciples. Stop off and get Peacock. Bring him to tell him I want to see him. Tell him I want to talk to him. Tell him I hadn't given up on him. Tell him he might have messed up. Tell him he might have failed up. But you tell him I ain't done with him yet. Go get my disciples and bring Peacock with you." Boy, time and time again, he's given me a special invitation, boy. I'm so glad that even though people are done, that God ain't done.
Amen.
Jesus meets with Peter. "Peter, do you love me?" Now you say what you want to say, but Peter got a personal conversation with Jesus. Everybody wants to make fun of Peter. He walked on water.
Amen.
Amen. He got to sit down with Jesus and have a personal conversation with Him.
Amen.
Peter, do you love me? Hey, Peter, let me ask you one more time. Do you love me? Boy, there's been times for me, there's times for me where He said, hey, boy, you love me? He's not doing it to mash me down. He's doing it to let me know He cares about me. I don't know about your God, but if you knew about me what He knows about me, you know why I'm about ready to come out of my skin right now. You say, why? This morning, about 4:30, He called up disciples all around the world, Brother Mark. He said, go get them all them disciples. They're going to get in the pulpit today and they're going to preach. Go get all them missionaries. They're going to get all the people together and they're going to preach. And get all them disciples ready. And He said, oh, by the way, could you stop by over there on Chipwood Lane this morning and get that old boy Peacock out of the bed and tell him, I know he gets discouraged. I know he gets downtrodden. You might find him sleeping underneath a juniper tree, but you tell him, I want to meet with him this morning. Tell him I'll be awaiting on him when he gets into the office. I come in the office. I said, morning, Lord. He said, hey, boy, do you love me? I said, oh, Lord, you know I do. He said, I got something for you. I said, okay, lay it on me. He said, what'd you get? One for tonight. You have to come back and see it. You think I'm excited now? Amen. You know why Peter wouldn't shut up? He was grateful. One more and I'm done. Listen. Sometimes, you know what? You're here. And one thing that stands between you and Him, you think you're too bad to be fixed. There ain't nobody too bad to be fixed. So I'm too big a sinner. Woo! I got a big God. So preacher, I messed up, I'm going to mess up again. So get right, mess up less next time. See, preacher, you're telling me to mess up? No, I'm telling you, I know people. You're going to mess up. But you know what? Don't ever think that whatever that mess up was is too much to keep you from getting straight. God can do something with you. Hey, preacher, if you just knew. No, I do know. Look at verse 9. I'll be done. Not only should your spirit be beaming, your speech should be bold, but sinners should be blessed. You see that palsied man there in verse number 9? That man that was impotent? That man who wasn't able to walk? That man that was lame in his feet. And Peter says, listen, man, we went by this feller and he couldn't get up. And we said, I don't have silver and gold, but I do have something for you. I can tell you to go ahead and get up and go on. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, above everything, you ought to be a blessing to sinners. You know why this place is open? I want to help sinners.
Amen.
I don't want to be so theologically narrow-minded that I can't help people. I don't want to get pharisaical in my ways of doing things that I can't let people grow in the grace. You say, why? Well, see, this little snot-nosed punk got saved when he was 7 years old and of all places, a Southern Baptist church. One fellow told me one time I gave my testimony, he says, you can't be saved. But he said, I listen to you preach. And he says, you have the gift to preach, but you can't be saved. I said, what do you mean I can't be saved? He says, nobody can get saved in the Southern Baptist Church. I said, okay. He said, why do you... I'm thinking, maybe you can't. I did. And besides that, I didn't get saved in the church. I got saved at the dining room table. Can't get saved in the... I've been listening to him. Hell was the same. Heaven was the same. Grace of God was the same. Blood of Jesus Christ was the same. The death, burial, and resurrection was the same. And back in them days, they preached it hard and straight, buddy. It wasn't all the stuff you see now. But anyway, I got saved when I was 7 years old. Okay? I hate to say this, and I mean this sincerely. I hadn't always lived like I ought to live. So, preacher, we never knew that. I could give you a list of people, a lot of them family, to say, we remember when. 40 years ago, but we remember when.
Amen.
But it's the truth. I'm not justifying it. I'm simply trying to tell you that God's been merciful to me. When I came into that meeting that time in them plaid breeches and that lime green shirt and was so cotton picking bid, man, I was looking like the Incredible Hulk fixing to turn green, man. Like I'm walking in there like daring somebody to say anything to me, man. I mean, I'm walking in mean as a cotton picking snake and long hair and all that kind of stuff. I walk in my crushed velvet patent leather high heeled shoes, man. I mean, I was a sight to see, man, or at least I thought anyhow. If my wife had seen me in those days, she'd have said, my God, I don't want nothing to do with him. She'd have took off running. She thought I was ready for the insane asylum. Say, what was you doing? I didn't come to find Jesus. I came to see my dad. Funny, my dad said, you want to see me, boy? I'm going to be in church. I'd like to see you, but I'm preaching a meeting. You want to see me coming to church? Thank God I had a mom and daddy like that. Thank God they were willing to come to church. Hallelujah. I mean, listen, on Sunday morning and on Sunday night and on Wednesday night, and if he's a preaching a meeting, where was you at? I was at church.
Amen.
Since 9 months before I was born. If anybody could be born into the church, it'd be me. And I come walking in that big old church. He's sitting right there. I didn't care what they were doing, what they were reading, who was saying what or nothing. I come walking in that place, and that old man stood up, and he started walking. He walked, and he got about halfway to where I was at. And he throwed them big old arms out like that. He said, hey, ox! That's what he used to call me. Now I'm like a little calf, amen. But back then he said, hey, ox, give your old man a hug. Man, he throwed his arms around me. He could just get him around me at that time, boy, and he grabbed a hold of me. Man, he gave me a bear hug. Made me know nobody else in that church loved me. He did, amen. He said, what'd he do? He looked past all of that foolishness. Sat me down. You know the story. He never said to me, you living right, boy? You doing right? Look at that hair. Look how you're dressed. My God, where'd you get them shoes? What you mean coming to church like that? Not all pretty. You was raised better than that, boy. Didn't say nothing. Sat me down right there. Right where you sitting. He said, that's my boy. After service, we're going to slip out the side door and we're going to get something to eat. Sat down and never opened his mouth. He wasn't interested in straightening me out. Just loving me. Just loving me. Unconditionally. I wasn't living at the foot of the cross and pure as the driven snow. He never asked nothing. Got done eating. I was the recipient of that day of the $100 bill. Slid it across the table. Oh my God! He's encouraging wickedness! No, he's just showing me he loved me. Good picture of Jesus. Unconditional. See, my dad wasn't worried about his reputation. What everybody was going to think about him. Oh, my son, oh my God. He's just glad his boy come home. He said, hey man. And you know what? He didn't try to put me on the hook that night. He just preached. I don't even know what he preached. All I want to do is get out. Boy, after we got done, you say, oh, did you hit the deck? Did you come to the altar? No. I wouldn't have done it in front of them people anyhow. I was too full of pride. Within just a few weeks, I had a cue ball. I'm high and tight in the police academy. Wasn't long after that, I was back in church. Wasn't long after that, I met my wife. And then I was really in church. Amen. I said, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you that when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what you care about? Being a blessing to sinners.
Amen.
You stop being a blessing to people, there's something wrong with the Holy Ghost you got.
Amen.
When your way gets in His way, something's wrong with you. And sometimes in our churches we've gotten mean-spirited instead of just wanting to help sinners. So here's what I have to do. Brother Bob, I got to look back to when I was a sinner and realize that the only difference in then and now is I'm saved and in fellowship, but I'm still the same one. I'll ask you a question this morning. Would you come to somebody like you if you were not living the way you ought to be living? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Would you be drawn to you? Would you feel like the person was going to try to help you out or straighten you out? You know what I want them to see? Hey, go see that preacher. He'll help you. What's he going to do? Get rid of your cigarettes and your liquor and your music and all that? He's just going to try to help you. I don't know about all that other stuff. I just know that's what I want. You know what I want? That's what I want this place to be. Listen, I love shouting and praising the Lord, but you know what I want it to be? I wanted a place to, where sinners can go, you know what? I need something they got there. I need some help. They came to that old blind boy and they were arguing over them. Pharisees are arguing, well, oh, was he a sinner before birth or was he a sinner? Let's go to his mother. Well, was he a sinner or not a sinner? She said, listen, here's all I know. Go talk to him and ask him because I can't figure the thing out. So they went to that blind boy and they said, boy, let me ask you a question. Were you a sinner before? Or did you just get blind from birth? Or what do you think happened? Was it your mom and daddy that was a sinner? He said, listen, or whether I was a sinner or wasn't a sinner, or if it was my mama or if it was my daddy, here's one thing I know. I was blind and now I see. That's all I know to tell you. And sometimes we get theologically hung up and get in the way of Jesus doing something. Sometimes I think we worry more about something that we have a preference for than what Jesus has a preference for. And listen, let me tell you this and I'm done. This is a place, God willing, you can find help today. If you're lost, we're not here to mock you, make fun of you, belittle you. We're here to tell you that Jesus Christ will save you today, right now. And you can spend an eternity with Him in heaven. He said, preacher, y'all have hypocrites in the church? Sure, there's one in the pulpit. You don't have to look far. So, preacher, do you have problems in the church? Sure we do. We have problems. We have people. Every time you have people, you got problems. Look, what you see is what you get, man. I mean, I'm not trying to make it out, oh, this church is the best church in the whole world and this and that. I'm just telling you this, you can find Jesus here. I'm presenting Him to you this morning. If you're lost, all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. He'll save you. Like that. That quick. But Christian, let me ask you a question. How's your testimony today? I know, you know, I've seen it happen. Backslider kind of slips away from God and the other one kind of starts moving toward God and the backslider is like, wait a minute now. You don't have to get all whacked out and carried away. Why not? Turn me loose and let me go. Saints, let me ask you a question. Miss Pat's going to come play. I want to ask you something. Do they believe our report? Has the Lord been revealed to you? Is there a brightness about your spirit? Is there a boldness about your speech? Is there a blessing to sinners around you? Have you let the grace of God shine abroad in your heart to help other people? Listen, I'm just here to tell you, this is a place where you can get some help. Look, nobody's going to, you know, oh, well, if you'd have just, and you shouldn't have ever, and you'd, listen, man, chunk all that aside and just say, God, I'm coming home. I want You to beam again. Lord, I really do. I really do. I want to be bold about You. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to the saints and sinners alike. Miss Pat plays, and God spoke to you, you come. Now listen, if you're lost, if you want somebody to pray with you, somebody to take a Bible and show you how to be saved, all you have to do is slide down here and just slip your hand up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. And somebody will take a Bible and we'll take the time to show you how to be saved. You say, Well, preacher, when I sinned or what I... Listen, you were blind. You know what God wants to do right now? Right now, God just wants to give you your sight back. God just wants to get you back in fellowship. Well, we don't tarry long for invitations here, but listen, if God spoke to you, listen, don't turn your back on Him. He'll take you, just like the song she's playing, just as you are, without one plea. That thy blood was shed for thee. Listen, He'll not cast you out if you come. Say, preacher, I got some big sins. Hey, He can take care of them. He's a big God. Say, preacher, do I have to tell you my sins? No, tell Him. But you don't get saved confessing your sins. You get saved confessing Jesus Christ. And God spoke to you, you come. She's playing now, you come.